So let's get some more analysis on this now with Asanda Ngoasheng, political analyst. Asanda, good afternoon to you. Thank you for your time. What kind of momentum do you think the MK party will get from yesterday's electoral court ruling?
Good afternoon and thank you for having me. I think that, you know, the MK is using the court cases and of course its relationship with Jacob Zuma to ensure that it's essentially hogging the headlines. And I think that, you know, this is important for them because they have zero votes at this point in time. And so they're trying to get as much media publicity and attention as possible. And I think that, you know, they are likely to definitely get some seats in parliament. I just don't know how many seats they will get. But also even before that, they still have many hurdles to go through. So one of them, I would say, is the fact that the IEC has said that, you know, the IEC court said there can be an appeal within the next 3 days, which might happen. There's also the fact that at some point or at some level, this case will have to go all the way to the Constitutional Court because it has implications for the political rights of people who have a criminal record and their ability to stand or not stand. And I think there also could potentially even be more court cases coming around how the terms of a president is calculated, seeing that Jacob Zuma has already had two terms and he's already started talking about challenging that. And so we might find that, you know, we're spending, you know, the next kind of almost 2 months in and out of court before we actually get to May 29. And I think it could go either way at this point. And I don't see, again, I don't see the MK, you know, getting the majority vote and toppling the ANC, but I think they are a potentially destabilizing force at a time when the ANC is, you know, is fighting for its life in terms of trying to retain the majority. So they do have the potential to break the ANC's back in terms of those percentages and potentially either become a kingmaker for the ANC or against the ANC should the ANC not get enough of a majority.
I imagine the notion of Jacob Zuma being an MP, a member of parliament, is frightening a lot of people because you would think that considering what happened during his term, he shouldn't be eligible just in terms of the mismanagement. So if you look at Busisiwe Mkhwebane as an MP, the idea of an impeached judge like John Hlophe potentially becoming an MP, doesn't that tell us that perhaps the authors of our constitution 30 years ago were naive and that system is in a way broken?
Well, I mean, I don't know if I'd go as far as to say naive. I think, you know, it is a good thing when people have kind of good wishes, particularly if you consider the context that we were coming out of. We never thought that we could get to the stage for various reasons. And I think that informed, you know, the ways in which the constitution was written. But I think, you know, Jacob Zuma, as you say, one of his contributions, as far as I'm concerned, is that he made us really think about the constitution and the things that we assumed of people who are in leadership and the things that we assumed of people's ability to be ethical and be able to kind of walk the line between what is legal and what is ethical and moral, which it seems like a lot of our politicians are unable to do. And I think, again, as I said, this court case is probably going to have to go to the Constitutional Court because it's not just about Jacob Zuma, because I think for me, that's the worrisome thing that people don't necessarily understand, that what just happened in the IEC court is not just about Jacob Zuma. It's about South Africa and South Africa's ability to deal with politicians who are seen to be corrupt, who are alleged to be corrupt, and who have a very big stake in how this country is governed. You don't want to be a country that has people able to go and have allegations of corruption and everything that Jacob Zuma has gone through all the way down to the Zondo Commission and be able to come back and kind of potentially do the same thing again. You want there to be consequences for negative actions by those who are given a lot of power. And I think for me, one of the biggest questions that is now sitting with us is the role of the judiciary. Because remember, there are three arms of government. It is the judiciary, it is the legislature, and it is the executive. And I think that this is a moment where the judiciary is going to have to play a critical role in deciding the next steps, because it does have a role to play. Sometimes people think when the judiciary makes, you know, some of these actions, they see it like as interfering in the state, etc., and they forget that the very reason of existence of the judiciary is to be able to hold those who are in power accountable. And I think a former president is very much somebody that needs to constantly be held to account and needs to ensure that, you know, there are checks and balances around how they exercise the power that they continue to have and will have in perpetuity, basically because of the fact that they used to be president, because being president means you have access to all kinds of things that the ordinary South African doesn't have access to. And the idea and why we want credible, not corrupt leadership is because you want people to not then take that knowledge and use it against the state. And I believe that this is part of what we are seeing now, that we have a former president who has literally turned enemy of the state and really is thinking about himself and his own selfish political desires rather than thinking about, is this a good thing? Yep. Is me as Jacob Zuma trying to go back to parliament a good thing for South Africa? Will this benefit South Africa and South Africans? And does this add credibility to South Africa's democracy? And so I think sometimes we get lost in thinking that, oh no, this has nothing to do with us. It's just an internal war between the MK and the ANC. But unfortunately, it has a lot to do with us. And although, you know, on the one part, if it didn't affect us, I'd be saying the chickens are coming to home to roost for the ANC. Yeah, the and ANC they deserve everything this, that's coming yeah, for
the,
them.
The ANC created this monster.
You know, they created this
monster. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They created this monster from supporting him through rape allegations to supporting him through Nkandla allegations, through supporting him all the way through the Zondo Commission and all the many revelations and allegations of bankrupting the state. They should have known that they've created a person who can never be held accountable easily because they made him believe he's unaccountable. And all we're seeing now are actually the results of their own actions. And if all it affected was the ANC, I'd be like, yeah, sure. But unfortunately, it affects us as South African. It raises questions about the credibility of our democracy. It raises questions about our ability to rein in and deal with corruption, which is critical for anybody who wants South Africa as a country to be able to continue and people to invest in us, not only financially, but also to invest in us as a country and believe that we have what it takes and what is needed to be a good country with good governance.
Asanda Ngosheng, excellent analysis there. Thank you so much, political analyst, having a look at that situation with Jacob Zuma. Of course, the ANC, as she says, created this monster, but they're also failing to act against him. He still remains a member of the ANC. That's absolutely ludicrous at this point.